Amen. Thank you, Brother Roger. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Appreciate so much Brother Mike and others stepping up and filling in while we were away. I do feel compelled to spend one more night in this lesson on the need for Christian education. We all should have a biblical worldview. And it's vital for us to bring up our children with a biblical worldview. And what that means is we want to look at the issues of life through the lens of Scripture. We can look at the issues of life through the lens of culture, through the lens of pop ideology, what's popular in the world, or we can look at what's going on in the world through the lens of what the Word of God says, and that's what we want to do. And we want our children to learn to do that as well. So kind of an overview of what we've studied the last few Wednesday nights. And Lord willing, kind of try to wrap it up tonight. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 4. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll read the scriptures tonight. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you so much for the beautiful day, the opportunity that we have to gather together. And Lord, we do pray for those who are unable to be here. Lord, we pray that you'll heal those that are sick and help those who have been held up by other causes. And we just pray that you would help to bring us all together as much as we possibly can, Lord, in this life, that we can come together to worship you, to spend time praying together, to spend time in the Word. And Lord, that you'll help us to grow together. Lord, we want to have unity, to be one with you as our Savior prayed, to be one with one another. And we just pray that you'll help us to grow in that unity. Please bless your word as we read it tonight and as we study it, as we discuss it in our small groups. I just pray that we can grow in your grace and knowledge tonight. Please teach us and guide us into your truth by your Spirit. Forgive us where we fall short. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be real disciples who are making disciples for your glory. And we pray that we can especially and foremost, we can make disciples at home in our children, our grandchildren, that we will see generations raise up in this place to your glory, being faithful to you and spreading your gospel. And we ask that you'll help in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. I know we've read it several weeks in a row, but I just want to remind you we need to get these things in our hearts. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. God wanted his people Israel to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The same thing that Jesus teaches us in the New Testament, that we would love God with all of our being. And as we love God, he wants us to take that love and take the word of God that we have in our heart and teach that truth diligently to our children. What I want to remind you of tonight is God has given parents the primary responsibility to educate their children. God says, teach your children diligently. It's our responsibility. Now, we live in a culture today, a secular worldview says that it takes a village to raise your children. A secular worldview says that it's the government's responsibility to raise your children. But the Bible says it's your responsibility to raise your children, to teach your children, to train your children. It doesn't mean that we can't have help. It doesn't mean that we don't do that. But it does mean that the responsibility is mine to train up my children. That's what the Bible says. Now, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know that I've cautioned you about this before, but repetition's the key to learning. I don't just repeat myself because I like to hear my own voice. I repeat myself because I really don't like to hear my own voice. I repeat myself because it's important to hear these things over and over. That's how we learn. Now listen, we've seen this verse used so many times, Proverbs 22:6. We see somebody who's raised up in church and they get away from God and they get out away from the things of God. And we use this verse to say, well, if we train them upright, they'll come back. But that's not what this verse says. This verse actually says if we train them upright, they won't go away. They'll continue in the ways of God. They won't depart from the ways of God. And so we need to be diligent in teaching our children. It's our responsibility as parents to train them up and to teach them in the way. And we do that at home. We do that when we get up, when we lay down, when we go out, when we come in. We do that as a part of our lives. We're using those opportunities day after day, night after night, to teach our children the Word of God. And there are opportunities everywhere. They abound. But it's got to be in my heart if I ever hope to pass it on to my children's hearts. It's got to be real in my life or it won't be real in theirs. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to teach my children. I want to train my children. I want to bring them up in the ways of God. Now listen, this is more than just bringing your kids to Sunday school. You've got to understand this. So many people think that if I just keep my kids, if I just bring them to church, if I just get them to Sunday school and keep them there, they'll turn out all right. And I am here to tell you, according to the word of the Lord, that if you don't teach them every day at home, it won't stick. It won't change their lives. You have to have it in your heart and pass it on to them day after day. God has given parents the primary responsibility to educate their children. Number two, God has given churches the responsibility to teach every disciple to keep the commandments of Jesus. Now, I don't know how long ago it was you first heard the Great Commission, but Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now stop right there. This word teach in verse 19, it's the verb form of the word disciple. This literally means go and make disciples of all nations. That's the commission that the Lord has given to his disciples, to go and make disciples. Disciples make disciples. I know, listen. God, from the very beginning, made us to reproduce after our kind. Apple trees make lambs, sheep make lambs or sheep. Thank you. You're doing so good. Thank you. Some of you are scared to say words. Disciples make disciples. And God has called us to make disciples. Now look at verse 20. Verse 20 is a different word. This word teaching is a different word in the Greek, and it's more what we think of as teaching. It's giving instruction. It's teaching the doctrines, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded unto you. This word observe doesn't mean to look at. This isn't like the lady in the grocery store that was standing there staring at the back of the can for a really, really, really long time, and somebody walked by and said, what are you doing? She said, it says concentrate. It's not what this is talking about. This observe doesn't mean to look at. This observe means to do. It means to keep. It means to guard. It means that we take the things that are in our hearts from the Word of God, we pass it on to our children, and we teach them and we show them. And the church has a responsibility to teach every disciple to keep the commandments of Jesus. We're not just teaching everything Jesus said. We're teaching to do everything Jesus said. You know how we teach people to do what Jesus said? We do that by doing what Jesus said. We teach by example. We teach by example. We live it out in front of them. We tell them what the Word of God says. Then we live it out in front of them. And so churches have a responsibility. So when we take these things and put them together, parents and churches should work together to provide a biblical education for our children. This is something parents in the church should work together in this business of training our children in a biblical worldview. Paul Chappell said the Lord has given parents the direct responsibility to train their children for him, and he has given the church the responsibility of teaching his word, this makes the home and the church partners in the God-given task of propagating the faith to the next generation. The church and the parents should be working together to do this work. Now, parents have liberty to choose what system of education they believe is best for each of their children. That's a mouthful. Let me say it again. Parents have liberty to choose what is the best system of education for each of their children. What do I mean? I mean, basically, right here in Mulder, Oklahoma, I reckon you have about three options for the education of your children. There's public education. There's Christian education, like a private Christian school or a church school. And there's homeschooling. Now, if there's another option that out there, you please educate me. But those are the only three main ones that I know. I personally believe that you have the liberty to choose what's best for each of your children. And I say each of your children because I don't know if you know this or not, but every child is different. And some of them are way more differenter than the other ones. I could tell you what number a child is usually the more differenter one, but I don't want to single out any of my children tonight. No, every child is different, and parents have the liberty to choose. Galatians chapter 4, verse 2 says that they are under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, this isn't talking about really tutors and governors in particular, but here's the point. In this day, in Roman culture, a Roman child was really just a biological child, had no legal rights until they were legally adopted by their parents. And they would be sent to tutors and governors to be educated in that culture in that day. That's what they did. Paul likely went to tutors and governors and was educated by others. I believe that you have liberty. In our culture today, we have different methods of education for our kids. Now, we have liberty and we know that, but I want to caution you tonight, in this instance and in every instance, we have this principle from the Word of God. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And again, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, "As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And the principle is this: we have Christian liberty. And you have choices that you can make in your life, but we need to make sure our choices are spiritual choices, that they're biblical choices, not fleshly choices. We need to make sure we're making the right decisions for the right reasons. Now, by the way, I meant to read a couple more verses there in Galatians 5:13. We read, "You have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Verse 14 goes on to say, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And I think there's a principle that carries on there. You have liberty and I have liberty, and we need to be careful that we're not judging each other's liberty. I have responsibility. Melissa and I have responsibility to make choices about the education of our children. And that's our choices. We have liberty in that. You have choices to make about the education of your children. And you ought not judge us for the decisions we make, and we ought not judge you for the decisions you make. Fair enough? Parents should choose the best system of education for each of their children carefully and prayerfully. Now listen, you have liberty to choose what's best for you and your family, but listen to me. You ought not just do what everybody else is doing just because it's what everybody else is doing. If you have given no consideration and no prayer about how your children, what system of education you choose for your family, you're wrong. If you haven't prayed about it, if you haven't considered all the options, you should. We're talking about the education of your children. Listen, the world knows how valuable the hearts and minds of your kids are. Adolf Hitler knew how valuable the hearts and minds of young people were. Satan today understands how valuable the education of children is in the world today. And if Christian parents don't consider carefully about the education of their children, if they're not heavily involved in what's going on in their children's education, listen, that's sin before God, and you need to repent and you need to pray about it, and you need to be willing to do whatever it takes to do what's best for your kids. Yeah, I really expected somebody to amen that besides Brother Tom. Steve, where you at tonight? How many of you are familiar with Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, we ought to look to God in every decision that we make. And if we're not looking to God in decisions about our kids, who he has entrusted us, who he has given us the primary responsibility for, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You have liberty to choose. You have liberty to choose. But you do not have liberty to choose without consulting God. You don't. You don't get to do whatever you want to without asking God about it. You don't. Not if you're a follower of Jesus. And so you ought to prayerfully consider what you're going to do. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I know you're familiar with it. James 4, 13. I love the King James language sometimes. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Listen, if James would rebuke a Christian who would say, we're going to go over here and make this business decision and not consult God, how much more should we be rebuked for making decisions about our family and our children without consulting the Lord? Listen, we ought to say, if the Lord will. We ought to be seeking God's will. Whatever system of education you choose for your children, you should be aware of the dangers and take steps to avoid the snares of Satan. We know Satan's after our kids. He's after you. Just because you got out of high school doesn't mean he left you alone. Just because you got out of college, just because you got married and got kids and they're grown, Satan is going to be after you until the day you take your last breath. But we know he's especially after our kids, because if he can get them early, he can destroy the trajectory of their lives. And so we know it's vital. I know Brother Mike touched on some of this last week, but let me just reiterate a couple of things. Public education has risks, and I want to say that those risks are not limited to, are not limited to ungodly influences and unbiblical teaching. As a matter of fact, I would say that some teaching in public schools is not only unbiblical, it's anti-God. We know Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants us to have godly influences in our life. And so we've got to be careful and guard our influences. We got to be careful of the teaching that we're exposed to. I know it's changed. You know, when I was in high school, I remember my high school science teacher saying, I'm going to teach you about evolution. I don't believe this, but I have to teach it. And then when I got to college, my first science professor in college says, evolution is not a theory, it's a fact. I remember even my freshman English class in college, I knew I was in trouble when I got there, and I bought the book, and I saw that the name on the name of the author of the book was the same teacher, the professor of the class. He literally wrote his own textbook. I should have dropped that class that day. But that man hated God. It was an English class. And his purpose in life was to try to take young Christians and turn them against God. This is what he existed for. So we just need to know. We need to be aware. So what are you saying, Brother Isaac? We shouldn't put our kids in public school? I think I clearly said you have the liberty to choose. You have a responsibility to pray about it and do what God leads you to do, but you have the liberty to choose. I'm just trying to tell you that if you're going to choose public education, you need to be aware of the dangers. Listen, you shouldn't be offended by that. I'm trying to help you and help your kids. You need to be aware of the dangers and prepare for that, for yourself and your kids. Of course we know there's ungodly influences in the world. Of course we know there's unbiblical teaching in the world, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to be ready to stand against it. Romans 16:19 says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Have you ever felt embarrassed because you didn't know about something? I remember growing up, getting around my older cousins, and they'd be talking about something, no idea what they were talking about. They'd say something, and they'd all be laughing. Well, I would laugh, too, because they were laughing, but I had no idea what they were talking about. And my cousins, being the jerks that they were, they always called me out, made fun of me more for it. I was so embarrassed because I didn't know what they were talking about. Listen, the things they were talking about, it was probably good that I didn't know. I tell my kids they should never be embarrassed about being naive about wickedness. Public education has some risks in ungodly influences, and that can come from educators, and it can come from classmates, and it can come from anywhere. And you need to be aware of that danger. There can be unbiblical teachings that are not only not consistent with the Word of God, but they're actually against the Word of God. You need to know that, and your kids need to know that. Christian schools have their risks as well. Even though a Christian school should have a Bible-based curriculum, that doesn't mean that everything that's taught is actually faithful to the Scriptures. You say, well, it's Christian curriculum, so it's all got to be right. Not necessarily. You have to know what's being taught. And even though the administration and teachers at a Christian school should be genuine followers of Christ, it doesn't mean that ungodly influences don't exist in a Christian school. As a matter of fact, apathy is probably the greatest risk to children in Christian schools because parents let down their guard and don't teach their kids at home the way that they should because they're in Christian school, so they should be in good shape, right? And so parents will let down their guard and they'll not be as faithful. I've got it on good authority that when you get around kids in Christian school and in public school, there's really not any difference. Kids are kids. With the same language and the same experiences and the same stuff, it all comes. So you've got to be aware. So what are you saying, preacher? You shouldn't put your kids in Christian school? No, I'm saying that you have liberty to do what's best for your kids, but you need to do it prayerfully. You need to be aware of the dangers, and you need to be prepared to deal with those dangers. Can I say homeschool is not without risks either? Mostly homeschool's a risk to the life of the children. The risk of homeschool isn't what most people tend to think. Most people criticize homeschool because of the lack of socialization. If that's something that you've thought or maybe said at some time, I want to help you out. Socialization, but before you criticize and think that's a negative thing, you should probably know what the word means. Socialization is defined as, one, the activity of mixing socially with others, but two, the process of learning to behave in a way that is acceptable to society. I think as parents, we shouldn't be concerned about our kids behaving in a way that's acceptable to society, but rather we should be concerned that they behave in a way that's acceptable unto God. I think the greatest risk to homeschooling is probably the same as Christian school. I think it's apathy. I think that, like Christian school, homeschool parents tend to rely on curriculum alone to develop a heart for God in their children, but that doesn't work. Listen, just because we have all of our subjects at home are based on the Bible, it doesn't mean that our kids are going to learn to have a heart for God because the books are Christian, because the books are Bible-based. No, homeschool parents can become apathetic, and they must model a genuine walk before God if they ever hope to get their hearts of their children to follow after God. And can I say this? Probably more so than anybody else, because they're there with you 24/7. And if you're not living in it, it's not real, then your kids may be in more danger of being turned away from God than anybody else. So there's dangers in all of these systems of education. Every follower of Jesus has to navigate living in, but not of, the world. All of us have to navigate that. Let me end with these verses. John 17, verses 14 through 18. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Whether you homeschool or send your kids to a Christian school or you send your kids to a public school, whatever the case is, as Christians, we all have to navigate being in but not of the world. Jesus doesn't want us to be taken out of the world. He sent us into the world to be witnesses for him. But he prays for God to deliver us from the evil, that we wouldn't fall into the traps of Satan. So we have to be, as a local church, dedicated to and faithful in teaching the word of God so that every person can know, love, and faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I know I took some of your time in your groups tonight, but I also know this. You guys love our kids. Come on now, you can say it like you mean it. They're listening. You love our kids? I mean, you even like most of them. We love our kids. And listen, I know we've covered some of this stuff already, but I think it's vital. I think it's vital that as a church, we approach the business of training up our children biblically. That we all strive to have a biblical worldview and pass that on to our kids. You know, I think that a lot of times we like to play the game, the blame game. It's not new. It's from the garden, right? Blame shifting. And I think it's really convenient for Christians in the church today to blame the government, to blame society, to blame how things have changed over the past decades. And listen, I'm not that old, but I've seen a lot of change. And things haven't really gotten a lot better. I think it's easy to play the blame game, but listen, it's our responsibility. You don't get to blame somebody else who doesn't have the responsibility that you have. It's my responsibility, it's your responsibility, so we have to take ownership of that responsibility and be dedicated to God to train up our children diligently in the way that they should go. Will you stand with me? Thank you so much for your time and attention. We're going to have a word of prayer and dismiss to our